some praise for that this morning. Just release him to whip him if he needs it this morning. Amen. We do appreciate you being here. His brother, amen. It's this. Praise God. Somebody say, God is good. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Was you going to say something?
Yes, just next Sunday. Remember, it's Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Make plans to bring someone. And the next Sunday is our Feaster banquet. We call it Feaster because we're going to
April 7th.
April 7th, right after church, Sunday morning down there. Sign up sheet in the back for what you need to bring. And we'll see you then. We're going to have a great day today and tonight and next week on Easter.
Yes. Amen. Amen. 6 o'clock this evening as well. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, let's lift up our voice and pray and call on the Lord to just pour out his spirit today. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that 2,000 years ago that he rode into Jerusalem triumphantly. We say, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Father, we pray, save now, save now. Send your prosperity, bless your people. Father, we pray, God, bless, Lord, your people with revival, with the outpouring of your spirit. Lord, we ask you to have your way today. Thank you for Corey. We ask you to just lay your hand upon him today. Thank you for every gift. Thank you for the anointing of your presence. We pray today, God, save, heal, and deliver with a mighty outstretched arm. And we give you all the praise and the glory, Lord Jesus. And everybody said amen. Give him another praise as we enter into worship this morning.
Time at the youth rally last night. I don't know if many of you were there. Awesome time. Woo! Well, let's get ready to get our palm branches up. Amen. If you don't have a palm branch, your hands will work. Amen. Hosanna in the highest this morning. We just declare your lordship over this house today, Lord. Without rival, Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles, yeah. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Jireh, meet your need, yeah. Jehovah Rapha, heal your body. Jehovah Shalom, be your peace. Declare it. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Jireh, meet your need.
This morning, oh God, let some shaking go on in here. Shake off the heavy things. We just declare that in the name of the Lord. Anything that's heavy on you, it ought not be. And we declare your freedom now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We want lifting up in this house today. Just declare that. Lifting up, lifting up. God's people's been down for too long. Amen. It's time for us to rise up to that other level that He's calling us to. You know, He's calling us to go deeper. He's calling us to go deeper. As Corey said last night, it's time to live loud. Amen. You know, your culture's loud. Your culture's loud. They're screaming in your ear. Hey, do this. Hey, do that. You know, and it ain't right. God's people's voice needs to be heard in this hour. So I dare you to rise up this morning. I dare you to shake yourself. Like Paul told Timothy, hey, stir up that thing that's in you. Stir it up this morning. You want to be stirred up? Come down here and get closer. You never know. You never know. Your healing could be just waiting on your movement. And it is, because faith is an act. Amen. It's all right. Saturday was silent. Surely it was through. Since when has impossible ever stopped? Never. Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. church to come deeper. He's saying, come up higher. Come up higher.
This world that emptied himself for us. He's the only one.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man. Time after time, born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior. Will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Thank you. heard and he answered. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I saw the Lord and he heard and he answered. I saw the Lord and he heard.
Jesus.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I will fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Thank you. embrace the Lord this morning. We embrace you, Lord. We embrace you, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name.
And you just love on him just a few moments. Come on, just lift your hands up to him and say, Jesus, I love you. God, I can't live without you. Jesus, I have to have your presence. I have to have your touch. There's nobody that can take your place. Lord, I need you to fill me up and overflow me. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Come on, just tell him. Just tell him this morning. Just pour out your heart to him right now. Just love on him. Love on him. See, he's all you need today. He's all you need today. All that other stuff can't do anything for you. He's all that you need. He's all that you need. He's the one that gives the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Let him ride triumphantly into your heart today, like he did in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago on this Palm Sunday. Let him ride into your heart. Let him ride in. Oh, we say, Jesus, you're welcome, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to give him a good shout of praise this morning. Shout unto the Lord of the voice of triumph. Shout unto God of the voice of praise today. He is worthy. He is worthy.
He's worthy. Amen. Amen. You may be seated if the ushers will come. Now listen carefully. We want to receive tithe and offering today. The offering will be going towards the honorarium for Corey Ball's Ministries. We realize it takes money to fly here from Florida and to minister for the days he's away. And we're going to take care of him. We always do. It's good to have Corey's family with us. But don't mix the tithe with the offering. Keep them separate. It's a very holy thing that tithe is. Let me tell you what I believe tithe does. Not only does it take care of the work of the ministry, but tithe breaks greed. Amen. Off yes, of does. Your life. If you feel like you just feel like you want to hold on and hoard things, honey, you need to tithe. You need to tithe and let it go. Let it go and see what God will do. He will take care of every need. Some of you have got tithe in you just like clockwork. Some of you are still learning. And I pray for you that you will get the principle of tithing. Get it, folks, because we're living in a time where the bottoms get ready to crash out of a lot of things. You'll be glad you did put that investment up in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to call on your name. I thank you, Father God, for Corey Ball Ministries and his family and all the guests that have come today to worship with you and all the HWC people. We thank you for them. Thank you for those that support the work of the ministry and that will continue to. And I thank you for those that will give above and beyond today to pour into this ministry of Corey's. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I was watching Corey last night when the praise team was up praising. He was chomping at the bits. He's ready to roll. He's ready to roll now. I know, you know, that's, you know, when you evangelize and when you do, it's just like, all right, my God, loose me, let me go. So I'm going to loose him and let him go. Come on, Corey, give him a good welcome today. Stand up and praise the Lord as he comes.
Amen. Amen. Come on, direct that to the Lord this morning. Come on, can you give Jesus a shout of praise? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your giving this morning. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for your giving, one, to the church here. If you are a member of this church, returning your tithe. Come on, there's something powerful in that. I ain't going to preach on the tithe this morning, but we do start a series in my church next week on stewardship, so I'm about to be preaching on the tithe for a whole month straight. And because I've stepped into a new season, those who've kept up with me, I still lead our youth and young adults, but now I'm a campus pastor. I run our Inverness campus every Sunday, and every Wednesday I preach, every Sunday I preach, every other weekend I'm around the world, a red eye on a Saturday night a lot of times, back to preach on a Sunday morning. I'm the busiest I've ever been. And in that season, I've bought a golden retriever, and the church says, you are just dumb. And you know, I have two babies that are still in diapers, but listen, harvest is almost out. Come on, can I get a shout of praise? Amen. We got it. She's figuring it out. All right. And my wife might kill me for this, but none of you guys know us. And there's one in the oven. You're like, what are you doing? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, but I have planned my surgery, if you know what I'm saying. Amen. All right. Well, it's over after this, I promise. Unless God supernaturally touches me, it's over. But I am super excited and honored to be with you guys this morning. Last night was incredible, and I was just so stirred. I believe God is doing something so special in that Experience Youth Rally every year. It's so amazing that a public school system would have a praise and worship team and would have, you know, all of these things that it does. You don't see that, you know. The public school system is trying to drive the church out, but yet this one is just bringing the church in. And I was so moved and so touched by that. And I believe next year it's going to be even better. And God's going to take it from glory to glory. Amen? I shared this story last night, and I want to start it off like this to kind of like make you laugh a little bit. I already know you did this. But I heard this story of about a little girl that went to church. Actually, I don't know her age exactly, but she went to church with her family, and she came home from church, and a couple hours passed by, and she told her dad, or she told her brother, and she said, "Brother, where is Andy? Where is Andy?" And her brother said, "Who in the world is Andy?" And she said, "Where is Andy? Where is Andy?" And he says, "I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know who Andy is." So she got mad at her brother, stormed off, and went to her mom and said, "Mama, where's Andy? Where is Andy?" And Mama said, "I don't know who Andy is. What are you talking about? Who is Andy?" She goes, "You know who Andy is. Where is he? Where's Andy?" And she says, "I don't know an Andy." And then she just stormed off from Mama. Come on, have you ever dealt with, you know what I'm talking about? My little girl, she's almost four, and if I don't give it to her, she'll go, it's the funniest thing in the world. But then she gets to her dad, and she says, "Daddy, where is Andy?" And the dad says, "I don't know who Andy is, but if there's an Andy in this house, I need to know about it." And she says, "No, Daddy, where is he?" He goes, "I don't know who Andy is, baby. Who is Andy?" She said, "Well, at church this morning, one of the deacons told me that Andy walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own." Come on, aren't you glad that it wasn't Andy, but Jesus walks with us, Jesus talks with us, and he calls us his own. Don't you just love the innocence of children? Amen. And I believe that was special. It touched my heart. And this morning on this Palm Sunday, I am just so honored again to preach to you. Usually, you know, on Palm Sundays, I've not went to the traditional text. I usually here lately have not preached out of the traditional text concerning Palm Sunday. But I felt the Lord speak to me on the traditional text this morning, and I am just going to deliver what the Lord would have me deliver. But once again, I just want to say thank you for giving to my ministry, for those who are coming back tonight. Like I said, we have stepped into the busiest season that I've ever been in. This summer, there's 2 weeks this summer, and for 14 days straight, I will be in a different church every night, making my way up from Florida to Ohio and back. 14 nights straight, I will be in a different church. That is 14 different hotels. And that's two babies and a mama and some other people that we're bringing. But God is good. Amen? Blessed are the feet of those who preach the gospel. If you were there last night, we believe that was powerful. Then in August, we are going to South Africa to do a crusade right outside of Johannesburg. And that is a 20-hour flight. Pray for me now. You know, I'm excited to go, but I already think about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a long flight. But God is good. So God is opening supernatural doors for us to go around the world and preach the gospel. And we can't do that without your partnership. I know, I believe we have one person here who's a partner with our ministry. And I just bless you in the name of Jesus. We had a banquet last week and God has just been so good to us. So if you're given to our ministry, you spell million. Joking. All right, so I'm excited to talk to you this morning. If you have your Bible, go to Luke 19, 29 through 38. I'm going to preach this part out of the NLT to you this morning, out of the NLT. This is the New Living Translation. And I believe God is going to speak to us as we go to the text this morning. Say amen. So as he came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Unite it and bring it here. So they went and found the colt just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners, now catch this part, this is really where we're hitting today. The owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply, I love this, they simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and they threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessing on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest heaven. Or right here in other translations is where you would see Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, which in the Hebrew means save us. Come on, as he was entering, they were literally crying, save us. Hosanna, Hosanna, save us. Aren't you glad that that's exactly what he did? Aren't you glad that 2,000 years ago, as he came into Jerusalem, that a week would pass by and he would die on a cross, but then 3 days later, he wouldn't stay in the grave, but he defeated death, hell, and the grave? Aren't you glad that he did exactly what the people were shouting? Save us, and he did it. Amen. Come on, if you're saved in here, can you make a little noise? Amen. But I also want to touch on Matthew's account. So if you can switch over to Matthew or you can just go with us from the screen. But Matthew's account as well. I like to jump around in the Gospels and take different takes on a lot of these stories. But Matthew's account, and this is from the New King James right here, 21, 10 and 11. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. But catch the first part. When he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. All the city was moved. Catch this. The city was moved. Come on, how many of you know that when God walks into things, things begin to move? When God comes on the scene, things begin to shift. Doesn't matter what you're facing, when Jesus comes into your situation, things have to move. Do you believe that this morning? I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I've come to tell you that when Jesus steps into your life, steps into your family, things have to move. Can you say amen? He moves things. He shifts things. God, when he steps in, things begin to happen. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that is on the move? But back to the donkey. Why a donkey? Why a donkey? You see, Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. Because Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Come on, he was fulfilling prophecy. Though Jesus had traveled to Jerusalem many times to observe the feast, his final entry into Jerusalem had a unique significance. It was important. He was coming in, arriving as a humble king of peace. Historically, entering a city on a donkey signified entering in peace rather than entering in a city on a horse, because if you came in on a horse, it was more of a conquering king. You were coming in to take territory. You were coming in to declare war. You were coming in to take over, which Jesus could have done this, amen? But yet he came in the humble way. For the Son of Man came to serve. He came in the humble way. He didn't come in on a horse. But how many of you know that when he returns, he ain't coming on a white donkey? When he returns, the sky will split and he's coming on a white. Why? Because this time he has already conquered death, hell, and the grave. There is nothing that can stop him when he comes again. It's not on a donkey, baby. It's on a horse. Come on, can you say horse? But this text, he's coming in a humble way on a donkey, and he's setting the scene, and he's presenting himself, and the people are crying, Hosanna, save us. The people are getting moved. I think this is fascinating, Pastor. Because when he's coming in on this donkey and they begin to get the branches, they begin to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, the people begin to shout. In the Hebrew, what does that mean? It says, save us. So they begin to shout, save us, to a humble entry. To a humble, to a donkey. He's not coming in as like a mighty superhero. He's coming in this opposite way. And they're crying, save us. And the Lord began to speak to me. Come on, how many of you know that it's the kindness of God, that it's the love of God that draws us to him? Come on, you can't scare people into God's presence. You got to love people into God's presence. Listen, as an evangelist, I've traveled, and I used to do the fear tactic. Jesus is coming tomorrow. You could leave this place and die right now. Are you saved? You could leave this place and get in a car accident. God forbid, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. But this could be the last thing you do in your entire life, was sit in this church and listen to me. What a good way to go out. I'm joking. This could be. And I used to preach like that. And there is truth to that. But then I found people coming to God out of fear of who God is. And I heard the Holy Spirit rebuke me. He said, tell the people I love them. And I don't want them to walk on eggshells around me. I want them to open up around me. I want them to know that I love them, that I'm for them, that greater am I that is in them than he who is in the world. Friends, he came in on a donkey to show them that it's my kindness towards you. It's my slow, it's my steady patience. It's my love. Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad that he's a gentle king? Amen. Aren't you glad that even though you've messed up a million times, he's a gentle king. He's a patient king. He's a merciful king. But friends, he is coming back on a horse. So while you still have breath in your lungs, take advantage. Because when he, listen, I heard an old preacher say one time, and it's so true, because when he comes back, it's over. When he comes back, it's over. Those who made the decision, those who gave their life to Jesus, those who turned their life around, made him the Lord of their life, believed in him, picked up their cross, followed him, gave them their life, we'll be all right. But when he comes again, it's over. You have this one chance to take a hold of what God has done on the earth, what God is doing on the earth. Because when he returns, your chance will. That's right. So do it now. I'm not scaring you into it. I'm telling you, the love of God is for you. The love of God is better than anything you've ever had, anything you've ever tasted, anything you've ever done. The way of God for your life is better. It is better. It'll always be better. There's not a drug that's better. There's not a relationship that's better. There's not a job that's better. There's nothing the world can offer you that is better than the love of Jesus for you. Amen. Amen. But why a donkey? You're like, well, you just told us why a donkey. True. But see, it's fascinating that when the disciples, remember at the beginning of the text, the disciples, I'm a mover, preacher. The disciples at our new campus, we're on the stage and it's all nice and fancy and we're preaching and I just make them pick up my pulpit and put it on the floor because I like to get close and personal. Don't tempt me. But what's fascinating is in the text, Jesus sends his disciples, now go get this donkey. Untie the donkey, and if anybody says something to you, tell them the Lord has need of it. And what's fascinating is the disciples go, and they find the donkey, and they untie the donkey, and sure enough, just like Jesus said, the owners are, what are you doing with the donkey? Why are you untying my donkey? And the response is, the Lord has need of it. What's fascinating, friends, is as I was reading through the Gospels, it stops right there with the owners. The owners don't fight it. The owners don't say, well, why my donkey? There's all these other donkeys. Why you want this one? As soon as the disciples say, the Lord has need of it, they seem to just let it go. I wonder how many of us today can truly give God what he asked from us without complaining. I'm going to say that again. I wonder how many of us in this room this morning can give God what he asked of us without complaining. What if I told you the Lord has need of you? There is something you have that the Lord has need of. Now, God doesn't need you to be God. God is God. Matter of fact, God just wants you. God has no need. God just wants you. Come on, somebody. He is God. There is nothing we could offer him, but he chooses to want us. For John 3:16 declares what? For he so loved the world. He wants us. But again, I wonder how many of you today can truly give God what he asks from you without complaining. It was fascinating. The Lord has need of it. And then they seemed to just permit this donkey to go. There wasn't no complaining. There wasn't no stomping of feet. There wasn't no, well, why my donkey? There wasn't no, you know, fit or you know, this pity party over the fact that God wanted their donkey. They seemed to just let it go. Now, if you're great at giving God whatever he has, we're going to give you a round of applause. But I want to talk to some real people in the room. You say, well, I think I'm pretty good at giving God what he's asked. Can we go through a list? I mean, you know that God wants all of your life. God doesn't just want your Sunday morning and your Wednesday night. God wants all of your life. Well, I got this going on. I got this going. God wants all of your life. This is what the disciples said. The Lord has need of it. They said, okay, take the donkey. What if that, listen, they refer to as a donkey as a blue-collar animal. A donkey is a blue-collar animal. It is a hard-working animal. And this day and time, it would pull machinery. It worked the fields. A donkey was their, what we have today, excavator or whatever you use. I'm not a tractor. I'm not a farmer, you know. If you know that, yeah, that's good for you. But anyway, I go to Walmart. Amen? But, and this time, that donkey was their equipment. That donkey did everything. The heavy lifting. Put it on the donkey. The donkey did everything. And a lot like today, even in that time, the donkey protected the other animals. No one wants to mess with a donkey. Have you ever seen that? I used to be freaked out by that. I was like, why is there a random donkey in this field of all these, you know, goat or all these animals, these cows and goats? And I was like, why is there a donkey in here? And I had a farmer friend of mine back in Florida. He said, friend, he said, the reason why I got these two donkeys in here, he said, if these coyotes, come on, jump in here, these donkeys will kick the snot out of every coyote in this field. And then I'll come the next morning, there'll be dead coyotes. I'll say, what? He said, yeah, I promise you, this donkey will kick these coyotes into the ground. So these donkeys are valuable. Friends, a lot of the time, God will call you to give the valuable stuff. I hate to break it to you. I hate to spoil it for you this morning. That following God is just easy. That it's just, you know, you say yes one time and you're like, ah, man, life is great. Now, life will be great, amen. But God's going to continue to call you to lay down the valuable stuff, to give him the valuable things, to live a life laid down, to live a life submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Come on. And these donkeys were of value to these farmers and to these owners, but yet they gave something of value without complaining. The Lord needs it. The Lord can have it. How many of you, I'm talking to myself too. I haven't figured all this out yet. Come on, it's a process, amen? But how many of us can say there is areas in our life that we should do a better job at not complaining? When God calls us to pray and God calls us to fast, can we pray and fast longer than, 3 hours? I did it, Lord. No, you skipped one meal. There's a man in my church that every time we call a fast, man, I just feel so like I just don't know how to fast. Because this dude can go straight, almost, he did a 40-day water fast one time. Listen, you got to talk to your doctors, figure that out. If you can do that by health, more power to you, but you better have God say you can do it. But this dude did it. And I'm like, teach me how to fast. And he said, the Lord asked me to do this. So I did it. Can you imagine how hungry he was? Can you imagine? He was great Weight Watchers. I mean, the dude just, 40 days dropped 100 pounds. Like, man, you look great. Kinda. But he did what the Lord asked of him without complaining. And not just in the area of praying and fasting, but in the area of giving. Uh-oh. Well, God, I give you $5 this week. Amen. $5. Glory to God. I know some of you don't live off $50 a week. Have you applied the principle? I told you I'm preaching on stewardship for a month next week. I wouldn't go here, but here I am touching it for 2 seconds. But have you applied the principle of the tithe to your life? When God asks of you to give financially into what he's doing in the earth? Or do you throw a fit? Well, God, I got all this going on. Well, God, I need this to pay this. Well, God, I need this to meet this. Come on, if you think money is your need meter, then you will have it, you'll not have it figured out the rest of your life. How many of you know that God is the meter of your needs? And that when you trust God with your finances, all of a sudden you'll find out that the Bible says the only place in Scripture that God says, test me in this and see if I don't open up the gates of heaven over you that will fill your cup to overflow. Friend, I have experienced this with my own life. I have tithed faithfully since Bible college, going on 6 years. Every paycheck I get, tithe it. Someone gave me $5, I throw 50 cents into an offering bucket. I am committed to the tithe. Because I believe the principle of God. And when God asks of me of something, I don't want to complain. I just want to say, Lord, here it is. And not just in the area of tithing and money, but in the area of just saying yes to things that other people would never say yes to. But what if God has called you to say yes to it? Living a life that is holy, living a life that is worthy of God, and you're saying no to the things of the world and saying yes to the things of the kingdom. You don't talk like you used to talk. You don't drink like you used to drink. You don't smoke like you used to smoke. You don't party like you used to party. Why? Because God changed you, and now you're saying yes to the things of God and no to the things of the world. And God has asked you to do this. Can you say yes to that without complaining? Can you say yes to that without complaining? Can you be like these owners that had something valuable, that had something that meant a lot to them, but when the Lord said, I need that, they said, he can have it. Can you be a person that says, Lord, whatever you ask of me, no matter if it's my money, no matter if it's my relationships, no matter if it's my friends, no matter if it's my job, no matter if it's what I do, my hobbies, things I've done my whole life, Lord, if you ask of me, don't let there be anything in me that starts to say, no. Let it just say, yes. Let it just say, yes. Because little did the owners know that behind their yes was the fulfilling of Zechariah's prophecy. That behind their yes would be the writing of the entry, would be the writing for the entry of the king. Little did they know that behind their yes, the Son of Man would use their old donkey and make something glorious out of it. Little did they know that behind their yes, God could use it in ways that we never could. I want to let you know this morning that behind your yes, God can do something great. You might not understand it in the moment. You might even have a party that questions it in the moment. But if you just say yes, God can do things with your yes that will blow you away. If you say, God, you can have it. God, you can do it. Little did you know that if you say yes to that, that whatever God is doing in the earth, come on, whatever God is moving in the earth, whatever God is moving in his kingdom, your yes is connected to it. Your yes is connected to what God is doing. Come on, you better hear this. And they said it last night as I was preaching, as people were, you know, they took up a love offering. They said, every dime you give to Pastor Corey, it goes on your account. That is so true, friend. When you say yes to what God is doing, then everything that God is doing on the earth, and if you're in partnership with it, come on, it's going further. It's doing more than you ever thought. Come on, I know their donkey had a lot to do on the farm, but when they said yes, their donkey became more than just a normal old farm donkey. All of a sudden, this donkey stepped right into royalty. This donkey stepped right into a life that other donkeys don't have.
Can I go somewhere real quick? Now I'm wrapping this thing up. All of a sudden, this donkey went into a life that other donkeys don't have. What I'm trying to tell you is when you give Jesus a yes, you're stepping out of the ordinary. You're stepping out what you're used to. You're stepping out of just going through the motions. When you give God a yes, you're going to do things you never thought you could do. You're going to see things you never thought you could see. You're going to be a part of things you never thought you could be a part of. Why? Because you gave God a yes. God will promote you, and God will use you. Come on, it's kind of funny, but it's true. God promoted a donkey. When you say yes, God will use you. And God will take you to places you've never been before. Can you say amen? Friends, again, a lot of times God will ask you for the stuff that's valuable. God is just looking to see if you'll do it. God is just looking to see if you'll do it. Can I share one more story? There was a woman, a prayer woman. She was a nun for many years. Lived a holy life. She's a Holy Ghost filled nun. Come on. Somebody said, how's that work? They're out there. There was an outpouring in the Catholic Church. Listen, friend, just know the revival history, friend. God moved in the Catholic Church not a couple years ago. It's been a little bit, but God moved. And there was these Holy Ghost-filled nuns. They were radical. They had a revelation of Jesus. They didn't get a revelation of Mary. They got a revelation of Jesus. And they were radical. But they still honored the principle of being a nun. And this one woman got called away to be with the Lord. She didn't die, but the Lord called her into a secret time of prayer and in his presence. And he said, will you give me a whole day? A whole day of you just being in your prayer closet, in your room. A whole day of you just praying. Cut all the distractions off. Don't take any phone calls. Don't check any emails. When I release you, you can step out, go get you something to eat. But a whole day of just you and me. And she said, yes, Lord, I can give you a day. And she gave the Lord a day. And the day passed, and she woke up, and it was great. And then the Lord spoke to her again, can you give me 3 days? She said, yes, Lord, I can give you 3 days. So she went back to praying for 3 days straight. 3 days were up. She's feeling closer to God than she's ever felt. And the Lord says, can you give me a week? She said, Lord, I got a ministry to run. She was one of the top ones. She's leading the whole ministry. She's like, I've been away from the ministry for 4 days. Now you want me to take a whole week? And the Lord said, will you give me a week? She said, yes, Lord, I'll give you a week.
She gave him a week. The week was up. She's ready to go back to the ministry and lead the rest of the nuns, I guess. And as she was preparing that, the Lord spoke again. He said, well, give me a month. She said, God, I can't take a month off. They're going to fire me. They're going to kick me out. They're going to think I'm rebelling and in sin. They're going to kick me out. I just can't take a month off. And the Lord said, will you give me a month? I love how the Lord's direct. The Lord ain't saying, well, trying to break it down for you. No, the Lord just says, give me a month. And she says, okay, Lord, I'll give you a month. She gave the Lord a month. A month of just prayer. Come on. How many of us could just tuck ourselves away? I know we got work. We got things going on. You're like, there's absolutely no way. She did too. And the Lord said, give me a month. And she said, yes, I'll give you a month. She said, God, but how's the ministry going to run? How are we going to, you know, pay our bills at the end of the month? How are we going to feed all these people and do all the things we do if I'm away for a month? The Lord didn't explain how. The Lord just said, give me a month. And she said yes to the month. And then she got out of the month. You guys already know where this is going. And the Lord spoke, will you give me a year? And the other times she started, remember, in the part of the story, she started complaining and saying, well, Lord, not really throwing fits, but she's like, Lord, how is this all going to work? Well, she came out of the month one and said, yes, Lord, I'll give you a year. Without saying, how's the ministry going to run? How's there? She just said, yes, Lord, I'll give you a year of this. And then the Lord responded to her and said, I don't need the year. I was just looking to see if you'd say yes. A lot of times, friend, God is just looking to see if you'll say yes. God is just looking to see if you will say yes. And I'm grateful that 2,000 years ago, there were some farmer boys in some field with a donkey. That God was looking to see if they would just say yes. And thank God they said yes. Because of their yes, he entered the city. And you know the rest. We'll talk about it next Sunday. Because of these farmers, yes. Friends, I end it with this morning. What's behind your yes? What could be behind your yes? What could God do with your yes? I believe the call this morning, friends, is to a life of obedience. To a life of just being a people that will say, yes, God. In every season of our life, without complaining, without trying to figure out how it won't work, to just be a people that says, God, we trust you, God, we hear you, and God, we obey. What God is looking for on the earth is people that obey his voice. And if God knows that you can obey his voice, the things God can do with your life are far greater than anything else that the world can do with your life. Do you believe that this morning? Stand to your feet all across this room. Amen. Worship team, if you want to come back up just for a minute as we play, we're going to take a moment and pray. Amen. Are you encouraged this morning? Amen. You going to go home and try to find Andy? Come on. This morning, I pray that you leave this place being a people that can say yes to God. Even if it's something valuable. The Bible doesn't go into detail of how many donkeys these people had. It just says, give me the one that was never ridden. Give me the colt. Give me the one. Who knows? They could have had many. So business could have kept going as normal. Or maybe what if that donkey played a big part? And they lost something for a season. They had to figure out a new way. Sometimes saying yes to God will put you in a situation that the friends you used to have aren't going to be the friends you still have. That the family you thought was for you turns out they're not. Sometimes saying yes to God, friends, It is a beautiful picture. God will work things out for your life. God will do things for your life. God will move. It is the best life. It is a joy unspeakable, full of glory. But a lot of the times when you say yes to God, you say yes to what He's doing on the earth, not everybody can understand why you would say yes. Not everybody.
Resurrection Sunday with us. But Palm Sunday is an awesome time to worship God. When those people said Hosanna, they were actually crying out, God, save us, save us. Maybe you're crying that out today. Maybe it's time for you to say yes. Say yes to Jesus, because that yes will take you further than you ever imagined. It'll change things in your life that need to be changed. It'll take your upside down world and make it right side up. So say yes to Jesus. Say yes today. Just pray the prayer with me today, would you? Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Come into my life today. I want to say yes to you. I want to go through Resurrection Sunday and this Easter season with a new life. Just as new life is springing up, I want new life in me. So I'm willing to say yes today. Yes, Jesus, save me. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me and rising again. Amen. What a glorious Easter season you're going to have if you prayed that prayer with me. If you're in the area, come be with us at Harvest Worship Center. We're having service tonight at 6 p.m. with Evangelist Corey Ball once again, and we'd love to have you. And remember, keep praising the Lord. It's Palm Sunday, so keep praising Him. Amen, and thank you for all He's done. God bless you. See you next Sunday.